All right, so we're ready to go deeper into the Generations podcast, talking about what we've been talking about in the Sunday service. We want to use this podcast as a means to be able to really like dive deep into, I mean, dive deep. We go for half an hour. So it's not like we can go really, really deep. Actually, that's the only comment that I got back that was negative. Someone says, hey, I was hoping you'd go even deeper. But like, if we're going to go even deeper, you know, it'd be like a 2 or 3 hour podcast or something.
They wanted Greek, the Hebrew.
Yeah. Right? We got to do the Greek, the Hebrew and stuff like that, which is all important, but I doubt we can actually do that in a podcast setting. Mm-hmm. I think in that case, that would be like a class. Because then you could actually sit and answer questions and then go through things, because then I feel like that's the better way to learn. And really, that's the Jewish way / Greek way that Jesus used to teach. Like, he would be in a crowd, and yes, he would be speaking to the people, but there was always like an interactive part.
Right.
And so that actually shows up when he's talking about the parables. There's always like an interaction. So really, to go deeper than this, we'd have to actually have some interaction. And in this case, we don't. So we're still number three podcast in the whole entire universe of all podcasting. So that's still pretty high up there.
Still topping the charts.
Yes, we're still topping the charts, even in our second one. So today's going to be really interesting, because we both preached this message, but we preached it a little bit different.
Yeah.
So if you had to summarize what you said in your message, what would you say?
Well, I took it from the perspective of, obviously, when Paul's saying don't be ashamed, and the fact that everything, now that's going to be one long summary, man.
That's okay.
Oops. But from the perspective, you know, because Paul begins opening, reminding, you know, my beloved child, and remember, and fan the flame, and all that. It's almost like as if he's trying to encourage Timothy. Maybe there was something that we're not privy to that maybe Timothy was going through. You know, remember the gift, you know, that you have, and all that. And then he goes on, don't be ashamed of me, or even of me. Like, don't be ashamed of the gospel, or even of me. So I took it from that perspective of being ashamed as a follower of Christ. We're not to be ashamed. We cannot. Jesus said it clearly. If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you in front of my Father and his holy angels. So I think there's that stipulation, and kind of breaking down and what, you know, which is, again, from shame. But what does that mean to be ashamed? Like, how does that look?
Okay, so just going back to the idea of shame, right? Like, you know, in practice, maybe I don't share the gospel, but in reality, it could be because I myself am dealing with a sense of unworthiness and shame. So I feel like I can't. And we know, for example, like, we know that the Bible says that we are all dead in our sins, or we were all dead in our sins when we were separated from God. So the gospel message is the message that says that when we put our faith in Christ, we come from death to life, right? And so I've heard the illustration of, let's say, for example, if you're walking past a burning building and you see people in the building is burning, they're in danger. And so you call out to them and you scream to them, hey, the building's burning, get out of there, right? You would do that because you know the urgency for them to be able to continue to live. And so it's a life and death situation. And so our desire to share the gospel is based on that. But how about if I'm walking by and I just think they just won't listen to me? You know, maybe I'm the one who, I'll yell out to them, but who am I to tell them that the building's burning? Maybe they don't feel any heat. Maybe they don't see it. So they're just going to think I'm crazy. So I let it go. But it's more so not because of my conviction of them needing it. It's more so because I myself feel unworthy to share.
Right. And I think you took it to the actual manifestation of probably what Timothy was probably living on. That was my thought. That was my premise.
Yeah.
You took it, you know, to the next level, I think, which is the practical sense type of thing. Because I think probably Timothy was probably going through that moment of where whatever was going on, whatever voices were around him at that time, or whatever he saw Paul go through or the other apostles go through, it probably, who knows, maybe it was getting down on him, and then maybe he was starting to feel exactly what you're saying. Now, how can I share my faith? You know, it's not that the message isn't true, because I'm sure Timothy at that point had lived a lot, as we, you know, we read the narrative, you know, the gift that was, you know, passed down to him, you know, and then by the laying on of hands and all this kind of stuff. So it's not like Timothy didn't know the reality of the gospel, but it looks like, or it could be, we can assume that maybe there was something going on that was probably beginning to refrain him from sharing that gospel. And Paul has to remind him, hey, fan the flame, you know, you got the gift, you know, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of me just because I'm in chains. Right. And it could be, but you know, you went, you know, yeah. you just said it. I was trying to, you know, like encapsulate that, what the cause. And you just went and said, this is your behavior because of that cause.
Yeah, and exactly. And the reason I did it is because, again, like, and I know, and I think I shared this before, I'm really big right now on aside from my readings, listening to podcasts. And I started to listen to a lot of people talking about deconstructing their faith and like falling away from their faith and stuff like that, which is for us a difficult topic to talk about, because you know, we're thinking to ourselves, like, and especially in my mind, you know, I recognize that the Bible says that some people will fall away from the faith, but in my mind, you know, my faith journey is based on knowing Jesus. And how do I know him one day and not know him the next day? And so I've been very fascinated by it. But one of the things that is always key to the story is that people will always talk about how the church caused them to feel so much shame.
Yeah, right.
And I even look at my own upbringing in a more legalistic aspect. And I know my parents, they're like, we weren't legalists. We were like, they tell me whenever I bring this up. But like the environment was legalist.
Yeah.
Like we grew up in a legalistic environment where everything was don't do this, you don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And even when you say don't do this to a kid and you have the right intention, when you're not teaching him what's right and wrong and why it's right and wrong, and you're not teaching him that the things, like in my case, they weren't teaching me, look, we don't do this because it's better for you because of this. It was more like, no, that's sinful. And so what happens is then you have a desire to do these things. Like back in Alan's day, when he wasn't allowed to go to the movie theater, but he wanted to, right? My first ever movie I ever watched in the movie theater was A Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first one. So that shows how old I was. I was very young, but that's how that shows how, you know, how old I was. And so I remember, like, even things like that, to want to do those things because it was just sinful, but you wanted to do them and you weren't supposed to do them. And then when you did something that you weren't supposed to do, that you were harped on because you did that what you weren't supposed to do, and there was all these rules and regulations, it always made you feel unworthy. So it makes you feel shame. And to me, that's so contradictory, because the whole point of the gospel is that Jesus took our shame on the cross. Mm-hmm. He became shame so that we didn't have to live in shame. And the idea that shame in itself is a feeling of worthiness, but unworthiness, but we are made worthy, not, and again, this is like one of those important moments where you have to say, not because of me, not because of anything that I do, I am worthy today, not because I'm worthy in myself, but because of what Jesus did for me. And so he strips that shame away from me and offers me his peace.
Right. Right. Well, and you're absolutely, you know, in what you said about, you know, how can the gospel create in us a sense of shame, right? Like, at least the legalistic perspective, right?
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what it was. Even, so the first movie that I went to a theater and broke all the rules was Commando. So that shows.
At least you did it well. Like, I'm going to do it well.
So So that show, maybe that show, I don't know if it was Ninja. Ninja was probably after the teenage.
Yeah.
So that shows how old I am. But I remember going there, and I do remember when leaving after the fact, I enjoyed the movie, but after the fact was like, oh, and now what? Now how do I go back to church? Now how do I go to the prayer meeting, you know, on next day or whatever? Like, it's weird. It was because it was this constant, like, and I think the controversy for me was, where in the Bible do you find that? Like, and I know, you know, there are some things that are, there are some things that are unspoken and, you know, that they weren't written. Paul said, you know, all things are you know, how do you say it?
Are permissible.
I was going to say, todo me lícito, but, yeah. But we're not in that part. It's not a Spanish podcast. Yeah, like it's permissible, but not everything is convenient for me. I shouldn't do it.
So the only time that I heard a biblical argument for why we shouldn't go to the movies, I know we're like totally off topic here, but the only time that I ever heard a biblical argument for why we shouldn't go to the movies was actually, and I'll show you this, was in Psalms 1, because I know it in Spanish. And so Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful.
Right.
And so the lady, I remember this lady, and I was in one of my first Bible classes, and this older lady was there. And I was like, I was by far the youngest person there in this Bible class, because it was like, I think I was in university and now like in this like Bible Institute to learn for ministry. But these were all like an evening class, right? So everybody's an adult. And so this one lady brought that up, and she goes, that's why we can't go to the movies, right? Because like, you don't know who sat there before you sat there. How about if it was a scornful person? And the Bible tells us not to. And then the pastor, the good thing was the pastor, he looked at her and he said, so you don't ride the bus?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Transference of spirits, right?
That's
what it is. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, well, and the thing was, my problem was that because it was enjoyable, right? And I'm not saying like the reality is it's the struggle with sin is because it does produce some sort of pleasure, right? So you're sitting in the theater, we're watching Commando, all this action going on. There was some sort of pleasure in watching that, you know, this joy, this sense of, oh, that was awesome, and you leave. And then you're thrown with that curveball that, you know, that's a sin, but you can't find it anywhere in the Bible. And so as a young person, you immediately rebel. You think, wait a minute, I didn't do anything bad. I just watched the movie. It felt good. It was a good movie. And you're telling me it's a sin and I can't do it. Nah, you're crazy. I can't be part of this. And you know, and then that was, for me, that was one big, huge reason that I questioned a lot of things in the Bible. But then that whole shame aspect, because, you know, you were growing up in a legalistic environment, which you're not allowed to question whoever preached, right? The apostle or the prophet, right? I'm giving away maybe a little bit of my background, right? You don't, and there would be this sense of shame, this sense of, and there's a difference between conviction and shame. And we can't confuse the two things, right? Because if you're feeling shameful or there's shame in you about something, that it's not necessarily conviction, right? And I think there's a difference between the two things, because one will bind you up, paralyze you, but the other one, the idea is to, you know, get you to turn around and go the right path.
And I think exactly. And I think the problem is that when we don't preach on the peace that Jesus gives us that undoes the shame, then what happens is, and we don't say, listen, you were made worthy, you're a new creation in Jesus, but whatever. And we don't create an environment where someone can say, okay, but I messed up and I feel convicted. If it's an environment where you're reinforcing shame, they'll never be able to open up, right? So if you're reinforcing shame, why would I come to this place and say, this is my struggle and this is what I'm convicted on? But when you are in a place of freedom and you are convicted, then you can come out with it, right? And you actually don't have to feel shame even when you've messed up. Because like you said, you don't feel shame, you feel conviction. And there's a difference, because then you can come and say, hey, listen, I was convicted because of I watched this, I did this, I said this, I acted this way, you know, I ate bread and I'm on the carnivore diet for Alan, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
hey, can you?
Alan once got in trouble in his church for eating the bread from communion. Yeah, he got disciplined in the church for a year. That's crazy. Yeah. So think about it. And that's why he still to this day, he doesn't call it communion. He calls it Holy Communion. So when we don't create an environment of freedom, then people, we're reinforcing shame. Because we should be okay with people being convicted.
Right. And I think what's important to say is, and it's not that we're saying, you know, this is not being liberal.
No. Right?
And this is not being a fluffy gospel or, you know, a big teddy bear in the gospel where, you know, God loves everybody, do whatever you want, it's okay. This is not that.
No.
You know, this is the reality, biblical reality that I don't think God our Father wants us to live a life that is always hiding from Him, unwilling to receive from Him, unwilling to, you know, to walk into the depths of Him because we feel, you know, we're not good enough, we're not holy enough, or we're not, and that is true. That is true. We look in the mirror and we're going to see all our shortcomings. We will. But in God's eyes, our Father, our Heavenly Father's eyes, His desire is for us to draw close unto Him so that He can draw close unto us. So this is not that, but this is understanding the biblical truth that God did away with all of that through Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And when we look in the mirror and we see the flaws, we feel convicted and not shame. It doesn't tell us that we're not worthy because our worthiness doesn't come from us, but comes from Jesus because of what He did. And that's the funny thing is that sometimes people talk about like, oh, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. Not about us. It's about Jesus. That's why you can't talk about all of those things about how you're made worthy because the reality is that's why I can say it, because it's not about me. Because it's His work inside of me, because He made me a new creation, because He gave me His life. But then when I look in the mirror and I see the flaws, instead of feeling unworthy, I should feel convicted. And there is a difference. And I should turn to myself and be like, okay, that's not how things should be, right? Because I was made new in Jesus Christ, those are things that I have to do away with, or those are things that I have to work on. Although, again, the way that we work on those things isn't by modifying our behavior. It's by keeping our eyes on Jesus. But still, those are moments that we are more aware of our need of more time with Him.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what happens as we look at our flaws and look at ourselves and see how short we fall. We see, or what it should do is not create in us guilt or shame, but what it should create in us is the necessity for more of Him. And that's totally different, because guilt or shame would stop us right in our tracks from seeking God more, or, you know, from whatever that may be, you know, drawing closer to God, or coming to church, or, you know, being with the brothers and sisters. But that will stop us dead in our tracks. But conviction, or when we see ourselves and we're convicted, we will see what we will be fully aware of is our necessity for more of Him.
Amen. Yeah. So these are some questions from Charmaine. How can we as a church create a more supportive environment for those struggling with feelings of unworthiness?
She should have been here so she could answer that one. Isn't that her field?
Yeah, I guess so. See, and then she's going to watch this and she goes, but you guys didn't invite me. But that's because she's jet setting in South Africa, right? And all over the world all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Just zoom her in next.
Yeah, we'll zoom her in next time. Yeah, we'll have to because of how much she travels. Actually, no, that's not true.
She's going to say something when she comes back.
Yeah, I know. So what can we do as a church community?
You know, that I think that's a great question, because I think one of the biggest issues, I know personally for me, especially growing up in this legalistic environment where there was judgment all around, all the time, constantly, you know, it was hard to speak up and about what you were struggling with. What was that issue that, you know, that brought shame upon you, that you were hiding even deeper? So what that ended up doing was just you stuffing that sin, that shame, that, you know, whatever, deeper and deeper, because you did not want nobody to be aware of it. I think what we need to do as a church community is definitely create an environment where people won't feel judged. And I know that's baby steps in the making all the time, you know, but it should be a place where people feel, you know what, if I can, like the Bible teaches us, to confess our sins to one another. Now, you know, you're not going to go crazy and start talking about some weird stuff, but definitely those things that you're struggling with that you can communicate, and you know, start to communicate those things, no matter how small. And those people that are around you that, you know, will support you and pray with you and encourage you forward, not stagnant, not stop, you know, no, you can't, you know, you're not welcomed here until you get better. Nah, you look for the people that are going to reflect or show you Christ.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that we forget is the power of confession is amazing, because what it does, see, shame keeps everything in the darkness, but confession allows you to bring everything to the light. So if you're struggling with something, what you want to do is you want to take it out of darkness and bring it into the light, right? Obviously, if you're in a condemning community, you don't want to, because then you're going to be condemned. But if we become the kind of place where people feel open to confess, and we are encouraging, and we're all about just getting up, you know, seven times the just will fall and seven times the will rise up, we'll just be like, it's all about you getting up and getting on your feet, then we're going to push people forward, and it'll be okay to confess your sins. And that way people can take things from the darkness into the light and say, this is my struggle right now. This is the reality of my behavior, my actions, my thoughts that don't go hand in hand, or they're not a real reflection of what Jesus did in me. So they have to change. But we make an environment where people can do that, and it changes everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super important. I mean, I think that's probably missing in the church world as a whole. And I think we can be witnesses of that every time we go to some YouTube channel and, you know, everybody's judging someone else or whatever, whatever's going on. But the intention should always be to build up. And I get it. There are some people, you know, if something has gone wrong or something has happened in someone's life, especially in a place of leadership, yes, you know, there's actions that have to be taken. I get all of that. But that's at that level. But what about the soul of that person who failed, who sinned, or whatever the case may be, and fell from grace, you know, if we're using this dramatic terminology now, you know, what about their soul? Like, who's going to take care of restoring that soul or that person, you know, and regardless if they get back to ministry? And so we see that in the church world, in a large scale. And I think our challenge is going to be to create, even just here in our community, create that zone where that's that environment where people can just open up and say, you know what, these are my flaws, these are my insecurities, these are my sins. And I think part of that comes from when we're all open about it. We, all of us, have areas in our life that we're trying to, you know, to line up with God's word, and the work, like you said, that Jesus Christ has done in me doesn't line up. It doesn't look like Christ, but that's what I would love. That's what I'm aiming towards. You know, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm looking towards the goal. And I'm pressing towards it. And I think if we can all come to that the person who's sitting in, you know, in whatever row, and the person who's up in the altar, the whoever's playing the instrument, we're all in the same playing field. We're all in the level playing field. We're all in the same place, same position. We're all trying to be holy because He is holy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's key right there, what you just said. And I think that's one of the benefits of a podcast like this, so that we can just tell people, we're one of you. Like, we're all the same. We're all the same. Like, there's no like, you know, specialty of anything that makes you higher or better or greater than anybody else. We all have the same struggles. We all see the same ads come up in front of our computer. We all have to turn off the same thing. Like, we all, you know what I mean? Like, we all have to do the same things.
Yeah.
So I think that that's an encouragement to people to say, again, your worthiness doesn't come from your actions. It comes from Jesus.
That's right.
And His work on the cross. And so when you have a security in Him, then you just start to deal with it and you start living it out. And then you recognize that we're all going to go through this together. So why not, instead of like pointing fingers at each other, let's just help each other up and let's help each other forward.
That's right.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I already got the watch symbol saying that we got to wrap up. So thank you guys again for joining us for Going Deeper podcast for our Generations Church family. We are excited. Again, unfortunately, I don't think your message is online.
No, it's not. No.
Yeah. It would have been good if you could have watched both messages and then sort of gotten a grasp for it. But if you speak Spanish, you can watch the Spanish one.
That's right.
With Pastor Leo. Yeah. And then get that perspective. But yep. But yeah, hope you guys have fun and have a great week. And we'll see you guys again in church on time.
Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.